John chapter 14, we're going to read the first three verses for our scripture reading tonight. Very familiar passage of scripture. Of course, Jesus was talking to his disciples. It was after they'd had the Lord's Supper, or after they had the Last Supper, the Passover Supper. And here's what he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's come, for this another opportunity to open your word together. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts and minds tonight, Holy Spirit, that you would just work in us. And I pray because of what happens here tonight that we could enjoy the upcoming week and the weeks that we celebrate Christmas and New Year's, that we could enjoy them a little bit better. Thank you for each one that's here. If there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray tonight would be the night they decide to receive Him. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to bring a Christmas message tonight. Not in the typical sense, though. Not in the sense that we're going to talk about the wise men or the shepherds or Mary and Joseph or Simeon and Anna. That met baby Jesus in the temple. We're not going to talk about the star. We're not going to talk about the angels. We're not going to talk about the animals or the camels that carried the wise men or the sheep that the shepherds left on the hills of Bethlehem. And we're not going to talk about baby Jesus. We're going to talk about Jesus, but we're not going to talk about baby Jesus. And yet, this is going to be a Christmas message and a holiday message, so to speak. You know, this time of year is a hard time. It's a stressful time, and it's a time that if we're not careful, we'll get so overwhelmed by all the things that sort of press in on us, all the things that we think we have to get done, that if we're not careful in that as is usually the case, there'll be some things that come unglued. And if we're not careful, our nerves will get frazzled and we'll get short-tempered. And this is the time of year that happens to people. I read a few weeks ago that the week between Christmas and New Year's, there are more suicides in that one-week period than there is any other one-week period during the year between holidays. So, Herb, you'll probably be busy for the next week. I mean, I'm sorry, what? No, you're not supposed to amen that. But there, I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. I don't want an amen. But there is more. People just, the stress of the holidays and again, all the things that overwhelm us. I also read that there's more people that have nervous breakdowns this particular week than there is any other week during the year. And there are more cases of domestic violence that are reported to the police department this week, the week between Christmas and New Year's, than there are any other week of the year. Now, again, you think of Christmas, we think of a time of love, a time of peace. In fact, the message of the angels when they gathered in that heavenly choir on the night that Jesus was born was glory to God in the highest, and on earth, what? Peace. Goodwill toward men. And we turn that peace into turmoil, and that goodwill is turned into stress and nerves and the heebie-jeebies. I mean, that's just, if we're not, that's a Greek term, heebie-jeebie. But you got to really study to know what that means. But that's what happens even to Christian folks. And I will just tell you, there's a lot of things going on in our congregation of folks that and I'm not going to share any specifics with you, but that just go to prove this point, that this is a stressful time of year. We got a lady in our church that's having to care for her grandchildren because their mom and dad just sort of walked away from them. Got into some stuff they shouldn't have got into, but just walked away from three little bitty children. And now grandma's having to take care of them. We got several sets of parents in our church that are just almost beside themselves because of some things that are going on with their kids. Not their little kids, but their grown kids. We have a lady in a church that's worried about her husband, about his health. And she made a statement to me on several occasions over the past few months. I just don't know what I'm going to do if anything happens to him. And we have several homes, just in church homes. I mean, in our church, where there's a lot of stress because of other things that are going on in their families and in their lives. And as I've talked to these folks and tried to encourage them, here's the theme of my encouragement. Hey, it's going to be okay. You're going through some tough times now, but this time of darkness, this nighttime, so to speak, it will pass. I mean, it will get better. Weeping, as it says in Psalm chapter 30, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And so with all this on my heart and mind tonight, I'm going to preach a sermon entitled, Everything's All Right in My Father's House. And when you hear that phrase, you say, well, yes, everything's okay in heaven. But I want to remind you tonight that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, that God lives inside of you as a Christian, and that we can claim that promise that everything's all right in our Father's house. And tonight I want to just give you three, and it's not, I'm not going to be bombastic tonight. I don't think I'm going to be too funny, but I just want to share some truth with you because I want each one of you to enjoy the next couple weeks. I want, if I could make you do what I wanted you to do over the next 2 weeks, I'd want you to just take a deep breath and relax and just sit back and sort of put your feet up and not get stressed, not get worried, but just enjoy your families and the time that we have. And I know some of you are going to have to work, but enjoy this time and just get some rest, some time where you can just calm everything that's sort of going on in your life and enjoy it. And so I want to just remind you of this truth. Everything's all right in my Father's house because, number one, our Father is there. I mean, when Jesus said, in my Father's house, what made it his Father's house? Because his Father was there. And when Dad is at home, when Daddy is at home, there's just something secure and safe and relaxing in knowing that Dad is there. I'm grateful tonight. I want to testify a little bit tonight. I'm grateful growing up that I had a dad that was there. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, even though he took the razor strap to a place that God prepared for it to me many, many times because I deserved it, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that my dad loved me. I knew that he would take care of me. I knew that he would provide for me. I knew that he would protect me. I don't ever remember a time in my life where my dad ever let me down. I can remember two or three very specific times in my life when I got into things over my head, and my dad let me do that so I would learn, but I got into things over my head where he had to come and sort of reach down and say, hey, come on, I'll get you above water again. Because, and I mean, even today, and I haven't gotten any situations like this of late, but even today, if I got into a situation where I needed help, I know one person I could turn to who, without any doubt in my mind, that would come to my side to help me would be my dad. Now, I'm not standing up here telling you that we've always agreed on things. We've disagreed on things. But again, I know if that I needed him, he would be right there to help me. Now, I've told you this story before, but it sort of illustrates my point. I finished up GMI in the summer of 1973, and I was going to go to Purdue for a couple years for graduate studies, and Debbie and I decided to get married. And her dad was pastoring a small church down in Stuttgart, Arkansas. It's known as the duck capital of the world. But I will tell you, it's also the mosquito capital of the world. They grow rice down there, and they got all these rice fields with all this water. The ducks come in, but so do the mosquitoes. So August the 3rd, we got married in a small church, Stuttgart, Arkansas. Now, I was 22 years old. I had 4 years in with General Motors. I had a scholarship to go to Purdue. They were going to pay my school bill, my books, and they were going to give us $400 a month to live on. I mean, $400, Sam. I didn't have to do nothing, just go to school, $400. We could live in married housing for $100 a month. And with the other $300, I could pay my car insurance, buy food, tithe, and we still have a couple bucks left at the end of the month that we could, go out and have a hamburger and wash our clothes and have a washing machine. Had to go to a laundromat. I mean, some of the best dates we had when we first got married, when we went to the laundromat and watched that thing go round and round and round. And we always go late at night so we could neck a little bit when nobody, well, I shouldn't say that, but when nobody else was there. And I know none of you are, I almost hate to say stuff like that. Your estimation of me will go down. But so I thought, here I am. I'm 22 years old, got a, bright future. I can handle this getting married thing. So we got married, and we just had a small ceremony. Just a few members of the family were there, and we didn't have a big reception. We just had cake and punch in the fellowship hall. So we were going to Hot Springs, Arkansas for a honeymoon, and we went by Debbie's folks' house to change clothes. And as Debbie was in the bedroom changing her clothes, her mother came out to me and said, "I want you to know, you're taking the most precious thing that I have in my life." Talking about her daughter. I said, "Well, okay, I understand that." And then her dad came, after her mother went back to the room, her dad came out and said, "You're taking my little girl. I expect you to take care of her." Now, again, I how you feel when you're 22 years old, Dick. I mean, you can beat the world and you don't have any worries, you don't have any concerns. And then here, her mother and her father say, "Oh, you're taking the most precious thing that I ever had. You're taking my little girl." What they were saying is, "You better take care of her." When I was growing up, I never had to worry about taking care of myself. I mean, I lived at home, except for the time I lived in the dorms at GMI. I lived at home, even when I was working at GMI. And so I never thought about taking care of myself. I mean, I never worried about where my next meal was coming from, or where I was, how I was going to buy my next pair of pants. I never worried about that. I mean, when there was a strange noise in the middle of the night, I never got up and saw what was going on. What was that, Dick? Oh, she does. But I never did that because Dad did it. I mean, I didn't have to do that. So here we're getting ready to go on our honeymoon. I get these messages from her mom and dad, and we had a good time on our honeymoon, and we did what people did on their honeymoon. But all the time that we were on our honeymoon, this was going through my mind. Boy, what have I got myself into? I am responsible for somebody. This is my responsibility now. I mean, when she has to go to the dentist, you know what I'm talking about, Brian? When she has to go to the dentist, I got to make sure that I can pay the dentist. I never had to worry about paying the dentist or the doctor, or figuring out. And so I'll never forget, we went on a two-week honeymoon, and we went back to Michigan to get all our stuff. My mom and dad had brought our wedding gifts back in a pickup truck, and so we were going to take that truck moving to Indiana. And so we spent a couple nights with my folks before we moved to Indiana. And I'll never forget what it was like sleeping at home again as a married person, not having to worry about what we were going to eat the next day, or if a burglar broke into the house in the middle of the night. That wasn't my responsibility. That was my father's responsibility when I was in his house. Now again, I don't know if you get the point of my story, but the point is that when dad's there, when daddy's at home, there's something safe and secure knowing that he's going to be there to take care of us. He's going to be there to provide for us. He's going to be there to protect us. And I want to remind you tonight, that's exactly what our Father in heaven, God that lives inside of us, does for each one of us today. We don't have to worry. We don't have to get stressed. Because everything's all right in our Father's house because Daddy's at home. He never leaves. He's always there and will take care of us. And I feel sorry for children today that don't have a dad in their home because they don't get the picture that God paints in the Bible about what our Father, God, does for us. And I'd encourage all you dads and grandpas, you paint that picture for your children. You let them know that you love them. You let them know that you're going to take care of them. You'll be there for them. That paints a picture of what God does for each one of us. So everything's all right in our Father's house, number one, because Daddy's home. Number two, because Jesus is there. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again so that where I am, there ye may be also. So Jesus is in our Father's house. He's preparing a place for us, but he's doing something else. He's sticking up for us. Amen? He's our advocate. Now, some of you that have had brothers can recall, like I can, times where my brother didn't stick up for me. I had a brother who could not keep his mouth shut. I remember a time we were playing football in the living room. Against the rules, I understand that. But my mom had a little china cup. I think somebody had given it to her on her wedding day. She had it sitting on a shelf in the living room. And so, Corey, I know you find this hard to believe, but I threw the football at my brother. He missed it. What do you think it hit? That cup. You got it. It broke. Luckily, though, it broke into big pieces. And back when I was your age, we didn't have super glue. All we had was Elmer's glue. So we got out that Elmer's glue, and we glued that cup back together, and we stuck it on that shelf, and I thought, nobody will ever know. Maybe I shouldn't be saying this, but I said, nobody will ever know. But my brother, he could not keep his mouth shut. My mom found out that night. No, don't point at Aaron. The razor strap came out of the closet, and we both got it. I think I told you this story before. I can remember playing baseball in my grandfather's backyard. He lived on the east side of Detroit, big backyard. And I was batting. My brother was pitching. We had a rubber-coated, it wasn't a rubber ball, but it was a rubber-coated hard ball. And so he pitched it. I hit it. High fly. In the back of my grandfather's house, there was this five-story apartment. And they had an alley because back in those days, the garbage trucks went through the alleys. You put your garbage in the back. And there was these two big concrete garbage bins that the apartment houses used. So that ball came down. It bounced off one of those garbage bins, bounced up to the fourth story, and went through a window. No, you don't need to tell on anybody tonight, Corey. So, of course, I was up in the front of the yard, so I immediately dropped the back and ran around to the front because I didn't want anything to do with this. And I thought, when nobody came to the house, I said, nobody will ever know anything about this. But my brother went in, told my dad, told my grandpa. I mean, we got the belt at grandpa's house. When we got home, we got the razor strap out again. I mean, he just could not keep his mouth shut. I remember another time. My grandfather was a night watchman at a building down in Detroit. And he'd go in 6 or 7 o'clock at night, and sometimes my brother and I go with him. And we could ride to the top. Nobody was there. We could ride to the top of the elevator. They had this freight elevator. It only went from the ground floor down 2 stories to the second basement. It had 2 basements. And this one, the doors on the elevator didn't shut all the way. It just had a gate, okay? And there was this real, at each floor, there was this real narrow ledge about as wide as a shelf. And so I told my brother, I said, you know what? I think that we could open the gate. You could stand on that ledge. The doors were shut right here on the floor. But you could stand on that ledge, and I could take the elevator all the way down to the second basement, and you'd be standing there 40 feet in the air with nothing between you and the floor except air. He says, I bet you we could do that too. That's exactly what we did. I thought it was an adventure. He got home and told everybody about it, and again, the razor strap come out of the closet, and I got it again. You know, in the lecture, you could have killed your brother. You know, you're supposed to take care of him. And so I had a brother that just could not keep his mouth shut. But I want to tell you something. I got an older brother, an elder brother, who not only doesn't he tell on me, but he takes the whipping for me. Because Jesus, when we sin, says to Daddy, don't put that on his account. I'll take the strap. I'll take the belt. The psalmist says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Because we have an elder brother that takes our whooping. And there's just something safe and secure and calming and relaxing to know that we have that kind of brother. Everything's all right in our Father's house. Number 3, because Jesus is coming to get us someday. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I was talking to a lady in our church, it's been about 3 weeks ago, and she was having a terrible time. Her health was bad. She was having trouble with a couple of her kids. She was worried about some things, and I sat with her on a Saturday afternoon, and I said, you know what? I know it looks pretty dark now, but you are going to get through this. It will pass. I mean, things will get better. Now, I don't know when. I said, I don't know if it'll be tomorrow. I don't know if it'll be next week. I don't even know if it'll be this side of heaven. But it will get better. God's allowed it. He's got a reason for it. He knows what he's doing. There's nothing, I reminded her, there's nothing that comes into our life that he doesn't allow, that he doesn't let. And so I just said, you're going to make it. It will pass. It will get better. Everything's going to be all right. And I said, I want you to sing with me. I don't do this often because without, you know, Dick leading and me being able to follow his voice and Leonard and Herb on either side of me, I can't hardly carry a tune. But I said, I just want you to sing with me. And we sang that little chorus. Everything's all right in our Father's house. Sing it with me. In our Father's house, in our Father's house. Everything's all right in our Father's house. Where there's joy, joy, joy. So you're going to get through it. You're going to make it. And everything will be okay. Now she's feeling better. She's still going through some tough times. But she's feeling better. And so this week, when you get overwhelmed by all the things that you think you have to get done, all the company and all the cooking and all the cleaning and everything that just sort of piles on top of you. And if you feel things are starting to get unglued and starting to sort of phase you a little bit, just get by yourself somewhere and sing. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. Now, I'd remind you tonight, and in the same passage of Scripture that we read from, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so we can sing, Jesus is the way to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Jesus is the way to my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for that truth. Thank you that when all the world comes crashing down around us, we can remember that you're always home inside of us in the form of the Holy Spirit. And when we think the world's coming to an end, we just need to hear that still small voice whisper to us, hey, everything's all right. You're going to make it. It's going to pass. God's still God. He's still in charge. Nothing happens unless he allows it. And so I pray in the days, the few days that we have, when we have time to be with our families and see folks that we haven't seen for a while, that we'll enjoy it. That we won't let the pressures and the things that we have to do get in the way of remembering that you're God. And so I pray, Father, that every single member of our church or the friends of our church would have that kind of holiday. When we remember that you're God, Jesus is our Savior, that you love us, you're going to take care of us, you're going to protect us. Bless the invitation tonight. If somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, help them to see that he is the only way to your house. That they can come and they can go with us to that place. Christians that are here, if you're speaking to them about something, I pray they'll be obedient to the Holy Spirit tonight. Just bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.